Our scripture reading tonight comes from the book of John, John 6. I'll be reading verses 60 through 71. John 6, verses 60 through 71. Now, I'll remind you that this morning's sermon was called Meeting Jesus. Our evening sermon is called Leaving Jesus. And so we read about that in this passage. The context, briefly, is Jesus speaking with many of his followers. And it says in the text, if you read earlier in the chapter, his disciples. Jesus has just performed astounding miracles. One of them is he took just a few fish and he fed 5,000 people with just a few fish, just a little bit of bread. And he moved from that amazing display that no one else had ever done before or could do, to teaching them. He says, that bread that fed so many people, I'm that bread. I'm that bread that came down from heaven and gives eternal life when you eat of it. So he's speaking, but the way he brings it up, the way he talks about him being bread, his own disciples are bothered by it. They're confused. They're stumbling. They're starting to argue among each other about it. And so that's the context in which we're reading these verses. So John 6, verses 60 through 71. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard or difficult saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this or grumbled about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. He said, "Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Over the years, I have had numerous friends who joined the church, dug into the Bible, pursued life as Christians. And then, months, years later, sometimes many years later, just walked away from it all, walked away from Jesus. And they didn't all say this, but a number of them, when speaking about their departure from Jesus, said, "I just don't believe anymore. I just don't believe it anymore." Do you know anyone like that? In our passage today, Jesus has many of his followers leave him. Not just one or two, many walk away from him. And this is startling. It should startle you. Jesus, who is to be our example of what a pastor is like, what a church leader should be like. Jesus, our example of that, our example of making disciples of men. He has this huge walkout from his own congregation. It looks like failure. But why? Why do people then and now, why do people leave Jesus? Why might some of you young people who are here grow up saying that you're following Jesus, that you love Jesus, that you believe Jesus? Why might some of you, as has happened before, even in this congregation, grow up and leave Jesus and say, I don't believe it anymore. Well, tonight I want to look at three things. First of all, I want to look at the surface reasons for leaving Jesus. That's in verses 61 and 62, the surface reasons for leaving Jesus. And then secondly, the deeper causes for leaving Jesus, verses 63 through 65, the deeper causes for leaving Jesus. And then thirdly, the reason that true followers stay with Jesus, verses 66 through 71, the true reason people, true followers, stay with Jesus. So let's start by looking at the three reasons that these people in this passage give for leaving Jesus. And this is kind of a distillation of their complaints about Jesus that happened in the verses prior to verse 61. The first reason that these people who are currently still with Jesus, but they're about to walk out on him, the first reason that his soon-to-be former disciples give is this. They say, Jesus should be easier to understand. Jesus, they say, should be easier to understand. Verse 60, they say, speaking of Jesus, what he's just said, this sermon, this discussion, this is a hard saying. This is a difficult saying. Who can understand it? Jesus, they grumble, he's confusing. The more they listen to him, the more they don't understand him. If you look back at verse 51, Jesus tells his disciple that he is the living bread who gives his flesh for the life of the world. The disciples, when they hear that, are confused. And so in the very next verse, verse 52, it says, they started quarreling among themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? Now, when you and I hear this, especially if you've grown up in church, you hear Jesus, the bread of life, who gives his flesh for the life of the world. Got it. I understand. It's spiritual symbolism. Jesus could have said that. He says in other parts in the Bible, this is an example. This is a parable teaching a lesson. He could have said, this is spiritual symbolism. Don't get all literal and confused about this. He could have said, I'm not talking about literally eating my body. But instead, when you look at that passage, Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. The disciples are confused by Jesus, and note this, Jesus does not clear it up. And so they complain that Jesus should be easier to understand. This is similar today to people who are perhaps outside of the church, inspecting it, checking out Christianity, or people who are inside the church, but they're on their way out. And they find in the Bible things they like, but they also find deep, challenging parts in the Bible, parts where at the moment they're confused or they're bothered by it. The book is clear. The Bible is clear about some matters, but it's also unapologetic about some of the deep matters, such as God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. We call it the Trinity. It's unapologetic about matters such as God's sovereign control over all things, and somehow we are individually responsible and free to do what we do. It's unapologetic about those things, and they are things that are important, and they're things that we can barely grasp. So, they leave Jesus because they say he should be easier to understand. The second reason his disciples give for leaving Jesus, they say that Jesus offends them. He pokes them in the eye. He's like a gnat that just flies up their nose one too many times. They are offended by some of the things that he says to them. In verse 60, when they say, this is a hard saying, who can receive it? It also has the sense that they are admitting Jesus keeps pushing them, correcting them, and they don't like it. How does he do it? You just go back further in the chapter. Verse 27, Jesus tells them, he's speaking to his disciples, the people who are listening, do not labor for the food which perishes, but labor for the food which endures to everlasting life. What's he saying there? Jesus is saying, you are looking for and you are living for things that will not satisfy you. Your desires will disappoint. The track that your life is on, You people who are here in church, Jesus is saying, you can be disappointed. Implicitly, he's saying, you're living wrong. Your fixation, whether it's on material security, you're aiming too low, Jesus says. You think all you need is a way to pay the bills, a way to get enough in the bank. He says, you're aiming too low. Look for what truly satisfies, Jesus says, both in this life and in the life to come. The reaction for these disciples that are offended, they're saying, I'll follow Jesus. I'll follow Jesus until he starts to touch areas that I am not ready to give up. I will come to church, Jesus. I'll come and hear your sermons, but don't talk about my boat, don't talk about my mistress, and don't talk about my temper. And if you do, I'm out. Now, the third reason that his disciples give for leaving Jesus, they say Jesus should be one of us. I actually had a friend who was serious about studying and wanting to know what's going on with the Bible. And this friend read through the Bible. It was exciting. The person was honestly interacting with the Bible and what it said. And one of the things that was most striking was as this friend read through the Gospels, they said, I don't like Jesus. What I'm reading here, I don't like him. He's too much not like a regular human being. They say Jesus should be one of us. You might think, well, why would someone say that? That sounds like sacrilegious. But if you're honest, there are things about Jesus where you think, why does he have to be so right all the time and perfect in everything he says and does? Verses 61 and 62, that's what's going on with these disciples. Jesus asked them, does this offend you? You'll really be offended if you saw me ascending back into heaven where I came from. So if you scan back to verse 38, this is not a new complaint in their thinking. Jesus plainly tells them, I have come down from heaven. Now, if I were to stand here and to tell you, guess what? I'm supposed to be your new pastor. I want to tell you something. I have come down from heaven. Okay, you should. Your normal healthy reaction should be, whoa, this guy needs to like go somewhere else, not in a pulpit. But that's their reaction to him. It is shocking when a man says that, and that's what Jesus is saying, and they stumble over it. Verse 41, it says they complain about it. Verse 42, they say, Jesus cannot be from heaven. They say, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say he came down from heaven? They're willing to follow a man. They're not willing to follow a man from heaven. If you are a believer, you've got to just get over this. You are following a man who came down from heaven. If your neighbors, if the people who do your job evaluations hear that and think you're serious about that, they're going to wonder about your capacity to judge reality. So they're willing to follow a Jesus who's only a man. And this is somewhat like people today who want to find a religion or a life philosophy. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for direction in life. But they don't want one that requires the supernatural, the divine. Because that kind of thinking that involves something outside of this world, that clashes very badly with a purely materialistic, scientific understanding of reality. All this talk about God, angels, devils, these seemingly unprovable miracles, it embarrasses people who consider themselves educated. But if there is meaning to this universe, if it's more than just stuff that comes out of the ground, whether we chop it down and fashion it, or we melt it down and forge it and construct it into these little shapes that rust and eventually decay and fall down, we cover it over with paint. If there's more to all of this than just what we can register with our scales and our little sensors, we shouldn't be surprised that the explanation, the interpretation, and the creation of all of this and the great matters of life and meaning are outside of our ability to fully grasp. We might be able to scratch at it. We might be able to get a handhold on it just enough. But to think we could truly explain it all and understand it. But that really doesn't, when people bring this up about Jesus, they're the same people who are willing to make important decisions based on not understanding what's going on. For instance, the average person, whether you are a believer or not, let's say something bad happens to your computer or your phone and you realize, okay, I need to talk to someone who knows something about how to secure my computer or my laptop or my phone. And so you talk to someone who is knowledgeable about internet security. And what happens, whether it's the guy from you know, Verizon or from Cox or a friend at work or in the neighborhood, someone who's really technical, really techie, and they say, oh, here's what you need to do. And you're like, what in the world is he talking about? I don't understand. But he says, so you need to install this or you need to buy this. Do you say, no, you have to explain this in terms of my world? You don't. You just say, just tell me what to do. I trust you. You are an expert. I don't have to understand all of this about the different attack vectors with electronics and the internet and ransomware and all that stuff. You just say, okay. We're comfortable doing that with 100 things in our lives, important things. The same thing happens with Jesus, and we're like, whoa, don't start talking about stuff that I can't understand. It all has to be something a human being can fully master. So, three surface reasons that are given for leaving Jesus. He should be easier to understand. He offends them. He should be one of us. But what's behind this? Let's look at some of the deeper reasons, secondly, for leaving Jesus. There's actually something going on below the surface within us when we or disciples complain about Jesus and eventually just walk out on him, leave him. What's going on? Why do people turn in their card and leave Jesus? Verses 63 through 65 give us two of those reasons. First of all, only the Holy Spirit shows us the real Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit shows us the real Jesus. Secondly, only the Father gives us the faith in Jesus to believe in him. Only the Father gives us the faith in Jesus to believe in him. What do we mean by this? First of all, only the Holy Spirit shows us the real Jesus. Verse 63, Jesus says, it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit. I'm going to be totally honest with you. Those three little phrases there are deep. You could write a 400-page theological book about them and honestly not fully plumb what is going on in there. But what we know from this verse as well as other passages throughout the Bible, Jesus is saying this whole discussion, all this talk about me coming down from heaven, being the way to eternal life, all these words, you can't just study them and get it. You need to study them. You need to listen, but that won't be enough. You also will need the Spirit of God to give you understanding. There's no other way to understand the spiritual without the Spirit. In the flesh, in your unaided, mortal, finite mind, you will not understand what Jesus is teaching. You just won't. Without the Spirit of God working on your mind, Jesus' words will not convince you. And this is humbling. It's saying that we're all of us, we're all babies about the basics. To understand basic, important matters of life, you need someone outside of your mind, outside of your heart, to give you understanding. And that's humbling. So secondly, the second deeper reason for why people leave Jesus, it's this. Only the Father gives us life and faith in Jesus. Only the Father, God the Father, gives life and belief in Jesus. It says here that these disciples left Jesus because ultimately they did not believe in Jesus. And you might be thinking, but they're disciples. Isn't that why they're there? They believed. It says they did not believe. Verse 64, Jesus says to his disciples, some of you do not believe. Some of you do not believe. There are people in the church who do not believe Jesus' teachings. If you're checking out Christianity, and one of your big concerns about Christianity is, Jesus, I'm drawn to, but wow, the things that his followers do, the people in church do, whoa, it's just a big turnoff. That's a very common experience. And here's one of the reasons why it keeps happening, that the people who follow Jesus or say they're following Jesus do such gross things or appalling things. It's because many people who are disciples, who are in church, they actually don't believe it. They're there for a variety of reasons, but they don't believe it. That's one of the explanations for what's going on with that. It's normal. There are people in church who don't believe Jesus' teaching. It was normal then. It happened when Jesus spoke these words to his little or big congregation, and it happens now. Now, how is it then that anybody believes in Jesus? How do you get this belief in Jesus? Well, we're told here, and we're told in other places in the Bible, faith, which is believing and trusting what Jesus says. Faith is a gift from God. Philippians 1:29 says, faith has to be granted to you by God to believe on Christ. Faith has to be granted to you by God to believe on Christ. You might say, well, no, I thought I made the decision to believe. Yes, you do. But how did it ever get to that point? God had to grant it to you, it says. John 6, verse 65, Jesus says that no one can come to me unless it is granted to you by the Father, by my Father. So why did those disciples walk away from Jesus? Because the Father, through the Spirit, had not given them faith. So this tells us that Christianity is a gated community. But it's not card-checked by people. God is the one who grants entry into his community. But it's also not like a country club where you have to qualify and hold standing in order to be admitted. It's more like a grocery store that's set in a food desert. God sends out invitations to any and all who will come to this grocery store where you can feed and get the food that you need. But the strange thing is, people do come to the grocery store. But not all the people who come actually want to be there. There are some who come into the grocery store, they'll buy the food for a while, but they've got a lot of complaints about your store and how you run it and what you do have and what you don't have. And so in the church, we expect the group to be a mixture, both of people who are following Jesus and people who are following Jesus but do not believe him or want him. So speaking to his disciples, in verse 64, it says, Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. In other words, it's normal for people to enter the church and later to walk away from following Jesus. I don't like hearing that. I don't like living that experience. But it was like that from the beginning, even when Jesus was the senior pastor of the congregation. Not every member at church believes Jesus or likes the real Jesus. So we've looked at the surface reasons for leaving Jesus. We've looked at the deeper causes for leaving Jesus. Now let's look at the reason why true followers stay with Jesus. The first reason that true followers stay, true followers want to be there. True followers want to be with Jesus. Look at verse 67. Jesus turns to the 12 disciples, the ones that he picked by name, and he says, what about you? Do you also want to go away? What is it that you want? Note there's no compulsion to stay with Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, guys, remember what I've done for you. He just says, do you want to stay? If you don't want Jesus, Jesus will let you leave him. There are things in Christianity that do stretch our minds. There are teachings and things that you'll hear in the preaching of the word that will push your buttons and challenge you personally. There will be personal idols that are rattled or even thrown down as you read the Bible, as you hear the preaching of the word. There are personal lies that all of us believe or even tell that will be confronted. And you're not going to like that. And it's also true, Christianity is thoroughly rooted in this spiritual reality that we can't see, we can't measure, we can't travel to with our rockets and all of our devices. It's beyond the mere rational and the scientific. And this Christianity deeply offends my personal autonomy, my belief and my heartfelt grasp on I get to choose how I will live. I get to choose where I will live, what I will do, and how I will live my life. All of that is challenged, and we're told, you need to bow down before Jesus Christ. With all of that prickly stuff maybe on the table, all that stuff that's been served up to you at the restaurant, now is on your table and you're thinking, I'm not sure this is what I ordered off the menu. With all that, do you still want to be with Jesus? True followers want to be with Jesus. So Jesus asks, do you want to leave? Verse 68, Peter responds, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. He's saying, I don't want to leave you, Jesus. I believe your words. I believe your teachings. I receive your corrections. I want to keep aligning my thinking, keep aligning my practices and my values with you, Jesus. That's what I want. I don't understand everything about what you're teaching, Jesus, but I can tell you they're true. They are words of eternal life, and that's what I want. So this leads us to the second reason that true followers stay. True followers stay with Jesus because they are convinced that he is the messenger from heaven, the rescuer sent that they need, and the leader that they need to follow. Jesus the messenger. As you read your Bible, maybe it's the first time, maybe it's the 50th time that you've been reading your Bible, and some of you have been doing it. Keep it up. Do you believe the message about Jesus that you're reading is true? Jesus the rescuer. As you listen to preaching from the Bible, do you believe that Jesus is the rescuer and the savior of those who admit, I'm a mess. I can't live right. I'm wrong. I need to be forgiven. Jesus, the leader, as you are entering into this community of people following Jesus, do you also want to join in with them and listen to what Jesus is saying and obey the things that Jesus is commanding? Those of you here who are in middle school, those of you who are here in high school, some of you have been here for a while, many years, and there's a habit that's formed. But one day, might be in 4 or 5 years, maybe in 10 years, you're going to be a grown-up. You're going to be cut loose. And you are going to have to decide. I don't know if it's going to be when you're in college or when you're waking up one Sunday morning. You're going to have to decide, why am I still going to church? Why am I still being around people who call themselves Christian? You will need to ask yourself this day, and honestly, this is how you're going to probably decide it. You're going to ask yourself, do I really want to keep following this Jesus? The core message of this church and all faithful churches of Jesus Christ is offensive. We teach the cross of Jesus Christ. He was executed by the government as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. We teach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was raised up from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins. And now he is alive, though he died. And he lives to lead his people and to come and judge the world. So come, follow him again today. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would grant us to believe on Jesus again today, to love Jesus, to follow him, to want him all of our days. We thank you that he is the bread of life and the Savior of the world. Amen.